So would you like to have your Bibles open at Ecclesiastes chapter 7? You'll notice that the NIV Bible, which we use here at Trinity Evangelical Church, has a simple and very bold heading. There it is over chapter 7, Wisdom. It's suggesting, of course, that the emphasis of chapter 7 is that of wisdom, and it would be very hard, very difficult to argue with that. If you look at the 11th verse, wisdom, we've touched on it, is like an inheritance, it's a good thing. 12th verse, wisdom is a shelter. Yes. Wisdom preserves those who have it, and so on also in the 12th verse. And now, as you can see in the 19th verse, which is what we want to just read together, I'll read it for you. Wisdom makes one person more powerful than 10 rulers in a city. So let me read it. Wisdom makes one person more powerful than 10 rulers in a city. Indeed, there is no one on earth who is righteous, no one who does what is right and never sins. Do not pay attention to every word people say, or you may hear your servant cursing you, for you know in your heart that many times you yourself have cursed others. So this morning, I'm going to begin at this 19th verse. Wisdom makes one person more powerful than 10 rulers in a city. It's obvious immediately that Koheleth observes wisdom again and again and again. And here he sees it as the thing which energizes, as it were, the very life of man, if we have it. It's more powerful than 10 rulers of a city. It may energize, as it were, one's life. Think of it now in this way this morning. Wisdom may energize a person's life in the sense that it may be more valuable to him than the power that is displayed by 10 rulers of a city. Now, it would be remiss of me if I did not draw attention to what I spoke on last week and where I finished off. And some of you will recall it, obviously. At the end of verse 18, whoever fears God will avoid all extremes. We hardly esteem anyone who exhibits extremes. We are attracted to people who have a kind of evenness of character and do not show extremes in that character. But the fear of God will result, as you read in the 18th verse, in something. And you may ask, it will result in what? It will result in those who are, as it were, free of all extremes. And you might ask this morning immediately, how is it that the 18th and the 19th are linked? Well, the fear of God, the Bible says, is the beginning of wisdom. So the 18th verse, whoever fears God will avoid all extremes. The fear of God, Proverbs chapter 9 and the 10th verse, is the beginning of wisdom. They are inextricably linked. They can never, ever be pulled apart. They can never be separated. Are we to avoid all extremes? Then let's have the fear of God about us. Are we to be those who have wisdom that is imparted to us, then let us be those who begin, first of all, with the fear of God. Yes, these things are joined in such a rich way. So the meaning here might be something like this. Wisdom that is rooted in the fear of God may be greater than all the collective wisdom of a group of experienced rulers or leaders. That's certainly what Koheleth, our teacher, is driving at. It may be greater, that kind of wisdom that is rooted in the fear of God, that does not run to extremes. That kind of wisdom may be greater than even the collective wisdom of 10 rulers or leaders that you might think of. Now listen carefully. I should barely need to tell you this. The ruler is wise in his own eyes. Well, of course he is. He got to where he got to because he is gifted. Because he is special. He's above and beyond the one who's his opponent, perhaps, if we think politically. Rarely ever does he or she stop to ask this question: where does my gift come from? It's driven by a sense of my own human powers. You don't need me to tell you that the ruler by and large believes in himself. Of course he does. The ruler cares very little for the wisdom of another ruler. Theresa May cares nothing for the wisdom of Jeremy Corbyn. And Jeremy Corbyn cares nothing for the wisdom of Theresa May. They're rulers. The climate experts could say whatever they wanted to someone like Donald Trump, and he's never going to listen to them because he is wise in his own eyes. And if ever we are seeing extremes in the world, we have them right now. And if anyone should say to me, how do you estimate them? They have no fear of God. And so to this end, I don't tell anybody what to do, but I say this: be very careful then who you believe in and who you trust as a ruler. Think carefully of this passage, because it's in all of us to want to believe in people. We still can't get this out of our system. We really want to believe in people and believe that they will have the answers, that the rulers will somehow find the solutions. They'll change the world. They'll alter things for the better. I must tell you, I come back to the text. They have no fear of God, and wisdom makes one wise person more powerful than 10 rulers of a city. By the way, I don't think that the 10 rulers are anything other than symbolic. I think that's what they're meant to be, of course. They're not literally 10 rulers, but it could be 1,000, it could be 50, I don't know what it is. But they're no match for the one who fears God. And that's the point that you must try to take with you at the end of this morning from this portion of the passage. Because it's not wisdom from without that you need, it's wisdom from within. And that's what the fear of God grants to anyone. It changes them from within. Let's just take the world's resources, and I don't have a political view on it. I mean it. I don't have a particular political view on the world's resources. Mining for coal, or drilling for gas or oil or whatever it might be. Let's just take the world's resources just as an example. Why do people go after them? Well, essentially you have to say they go after them basically for one reason only. They go after them for money. Of course they do. But perhaps wisdom might make us start in a different place when we think about the world's resources. And do you know what that wisdom might be? It might start like this: the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And it would humble us. Wisdom makes one wise person more powerful than 10 rulers in a city. We might like to stop ourselves and ask ourselves how easily managed our thinking is in all sorts of different areas of life without that wisdom that comes from the fear of God. I say to you, that such wisdom will humble us, but wisdom and power like this would certainly guide our lives. Take ethics and morals, where we have an alarming breakdown in society, and we are all aware of it. And collectively, all of the rulers may say the same thing. Well, they basically do. What would be our best place to start if we were to take up the thinking of Koheleth? Surely it would be wisdom makes one wise person more powerful than 10 rulers in a city. And therefore we might want to look at the ethics and the morals of the day through the lens of what God has said in his word. People tremble today at the thought that you might question the status quo about whatever it might be. Why, the 10 rulers have spoken. The world's rulers have spoken on health, education, the family, I don't care what it is, you can think of all manner of things. The 10 rulers are all wise. Before Christians realize it, they find themselves embracing the thinking of the world. Am I speaking out of turn when I say that the technologies of today are going to shape people for the decades to come? Am I speaking out of turn? Am I saying something out of the ordinary? Is it not already agreed that minds are to be altered by the technologies which are available today? That minds are being shaped. I've said this before. Look how quick it happens. Even the gait of people is changed just by the use of a mobile telephone. Don't tell me that society is not being changed. At least we can stop and say to ourselves this morning, is there not another possibility? Is there not another way? Or must it be the view of the 10 rulers? Wisdom makes one wise person more powerful than 10 rulers of a city. If we have this wisdom in our present climate, we will avoid all extremes. And you will know this morning, even as I preach, you will know whether you have begun to descend into places of extremity. You know it. You don't need me to condemn you. I wouldn't dream of it. But you already know. But it's like a rabbit hole. You begin to go down it, and it goes deeper and deeper and deeper. And how do you find your way back out of it? What a challenge for us to think about embracing the wisdom of God that comes from the fear of God. Let me finish this point by commending something to you. Good advice, I think. You can do no better in your life than to make a study of Christ, who, as we read this morning from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he is the wisdom of God. He is the wisdom of God. Study him. Make a deep study of the Lord Jesus Christ. In our lives, we can know a power. We can know a power in Christ to so direct us, to so help us, and to so lead us. Because this is what the Apostle Paul says when he writes to the Colossian Christians. It's one of my favourite Bible texts. He says, "For in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom." Go to him for your wisdom. I don't care what Quadrilla think about digging or drilling for, fracking for shale gas. I want to go to Christ for his wisdom and how to think about the environment from his wisdom, and I want to think about the world's ethics and its morals from Christ's wisdom. He has all the treasures of wisdom. Why wouldn't you go to him? Why would we be so reticent? Why would we look to the 10 leaders who have failed before and will fail again and fail again and fail again? Why would we not go to Christ for his wisdom? And so far as the gospel is concerned, let me say this, that when a man or a woman throws themselves at the feet of Christ in this way, a new power takes over their soul. It is the fear of God. They recognize that he is above all. He is the wisdom that is above all. His mind is above all. His ways are above all. He is Lord of all. And on that day when I fall at his feet, I'll tell you this, that what happens is this, is that I recognize that he is above all others. He is not one amongst others. He is above all others. His wisdom transcends all the wisdom of the world. And if I can, in the smallest way, tap into his wisdom, if I can be joined to him, if he can be joined to my life, then what wisdom might come up in my spiritual experience? If we would have a power which is living and which is spiritual, which keeps us from all extremes, it will be that wisdom that ultimately comes from knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Does it appear in my preaching this morning I'm trying to sell something to you? Some people said to me, you sell sand to the Arabs, Andrew. I doubt it. But I can be persuasive from the word of God, because I should be. I should be urging you. I should be asking you to think about the stance that you take today. Can it be altered? Can it be shifted by the truth of the word of God? That's what the preaching is about. That's what the teaching of scripture is about, to make us think again. Reassess where we have come to, what we are doing, where we are going to, what's become of us at this very moment. And then going to God and seeking him, especially in Christ, and for his power and for his wisdom to come to our lives. Well, I think that's the direction of Koheleth's teaching. Wisdom makes one wise person more powerful than 10 rulers in a city. And then if you look at the 20th verse, it says, in the NIV, indeed, there is no one on earth who is righteous. It's connected to the last verse, the one that we've just been speaking of. Indeed, there is no one on earth who is righteous, no one who does what is right and never sins. You see, the point is like this. The rulers make a great display. Oh, but they do. Yes, they do. They make a great display of their powers and why we should believe in them. Or haven't you seen any of the politicking of the last 2 weeks? Well, of course, they're going to go on making a great display as to why we should believe in them and not believe in the other guy, whoever that might be. They're trying to demonstrate their wisdom. And one way or another, the vast majority of people are going to fall in with one person, or they're going to fall in with the other guy. And you still hear people today, don't you, who are disappointed in their rulers. They feel let down. You still hear that? I feel dreadfully let down, says someone who's interviewed on the street, by my politician, because they behaved in a particular way, or they did this or that, or they promised this or they promised that. They were sold a bill of goods, so to speak, and they believed it. And now they feel let down, because this person, whoever it was, said, we've got the solutions. We've got the answers. And the masses believed them. They were the rulers. They were the 10 rulers. These were the governments. These were the churches. who set themselves up and said, believe in us. Of course they did. Ah, but wisdom that begins with the fear of God tells you that there is no one who is righteous, there is no one who does not sin, and therefore when I hear my politician speak, unless that person is truly a Christian, I expect them to some extent to be lying to me. And it will turn out that way in the end. Wisdom tells me that there is no one who is righteous, no one who does what is right and never sins. That is what wisdom teaches me. And you see, we're all the same. Do you notice that when a politician does something wrong, everyone's aghast? They're astonished. He ran off with his secretary and had an affair. They're astonished. You think to yourself, what? What on earth do you think this man or this woman, what do you think they are? And the text makes it absolutely clear. There is no one who is righteous. No one on earth. No one on earth. That's the point. No one who does what is right and never sins. I find no problem when someone like a politician lies, none at all. Because one, he or she never had the fear of God. And this person, of course, into the bargain, is just like me, a poor, sinful creature. No different at all. And so I say to all of you this morning, get a grip. It's a level playing field. It's a level playing field. We're all on it. We're all exactly the same. You don't need me to tell you the text is before you. No one on earth. There is no one on earth. Ah, this is really important. Recall the message last week. They may have a pretended righteousness. That's the point. Ah, they may have a pretense righteousness. If you look at the text and you just go back, you'll see it. 16th verse. Do not be over righteous, neither be over wise. You'll remember what I said. It wasn't about excessive righteousness. It was about that which was defective, that which was pretend, that which was not real. And so here you are. You have those who have a pretended righteousness. And people believe in them. There is a pretended righteousness in the churches. And people believe in them. But when we get to the bottom, and it's all stripped away, and the display is absolutely crystal clear, it turns out that quite simply, everyone is the same. We're all sinners. Without exception, every single one of us are on a level playing field. Trump, May, Corbyn, the Pope, Merkel, all of you were all exactly the same. All your sporting heroes, no one is any different. And wisdom, real wisdom in the fear of God, will help you to see people as they really are. You might find it difficult this morning for me to call a spade in this world. But the text says that no one on earth, there is no one who does what is right without sinning. I just want to recommend to all of you, in the most forceful and loving way that I can, that if you can see this text and you can apply it to your own life, not to someone else's, but to your own life, the door to the kingdom of God is now not just slightly open, it's not even ajar, it is wide open for you to walk through it. If you can agree with this, if you can say, this is me, if you can say, I believe that this is true about me, I'll call a spade about myself, then the door is not just slightly ajar, it's wide open for you to walk through it, even now as I speak. Come on, bring yourself to say it. Indeed, there is no one on earth who is righteous, no one who does what is right and never sins. That is me. Do you know, if we can say amen to that, we'll stop trusting in man and we'll realize that the best of men are men at best and the best of women are just women at the best. They're all on a level playing field. They're all sinners in the sight of a holy God. You know, this doesn't just speak about our guilt of the sins that we've committed, but it speaks of this. It speaks of our sin, which is in the best principles of what we call our own goodness. There's no way out. We're locked up to this truth. And do you know this? Some of you might be saying, I'm not as bad as others. I know people do say that. But it doesn't mean that you've got even one scrap of righteousness in you. It's a level playing field. Everyone in this room is exactly the same. Do you know the New Testament? The New Testament tells us that if anyone says that they have no sin in them, they've deceived themselves. If you think you've got no sin in you, you are deceived. The best thing that you can do right now is to come to a realization of this truth. And then do you know what you might do? Why? You might even take the advice of the Word of God. Good advice, as it's set forth by the Lord Jesus in the form of a parable. The publican beats his breast. He doesn't even look up. He just keeps his head down. He says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Why? The door to the kingdom of God is not slightly ajar for that man. Jesus says that man went home justified. Well, it's as quick as that. Why should that not be the door that even you would walk through this morning? Are our minds so wise in our own wisdom that we can't bring ourselves to consider the wisdom of God? Well, I hope not. Let that wisdom of God, of Christ, even be born in some of you this morning. Well, I've got something to say about the 21st verse. 21st verse, and I think it's important that I should do. I think it's highly relevant, and you might not want to be here as I speak on it now, but it's going to be good for us. I'm absolutely convinced of it. Do not pay attention to every word that people say. Now, here is the best evidence of all of our fallen nature that we are all sinful. There's no better evidence of it. I suspect that the world over there is ill feeling, felt one between another. And I say the world over. No matter where you go. Ill feeling about what was said. Oh yes. Kohelet says, do not pay attention to every word people say. James Moffat, in his translation, he says this: never listen to all that people say. Never listen to all that people say. Have you ever thought that God must hear a cacophony of noise that rises up out of the earth? He must do. From Japan to New Zealand, to Africa to South America, to Scotland, to Holland, to Ireland, to France, to Germany, to Italy, throughout the world. A cacophony of noise of people saying to one another, he said this, and she said that. It must go on in every culture, in every part of the world. And perhaps even we have done that this week. Moffat says, never listen. Never listen to all that people say. I've got some relevant things to say for the benefit of the young people at the end, but I have to say this at this moment, that this, all of this is multiplied by the introduction of what is called social media. It has to be. He said this, she said that. He said this, she said that. Did you hear that he said that? He said this, she said that. It goes on and on and on. And what Koheleth is saying, there is an unreliability in our sinfulness in the area of speech. And perhaps we are more sinful in speech than in anything else in our lives. So Koheleth's advice is, don't be easily vexed. Of course it is. It might be translated like this: do not take heed. Do not take heed. Sometimes, you know, there is great wisdom in not examining too forensically everything that someone said. That's what he's driving at. And you know, I know that there are always going to be barbed words. People almost delight in using barbed words, either overtly or covertly. But they know that they're doing it. And it's not insignificant, as you'll see at the end of this message. It's hugely significant. There may be barbed words which have a show of goodness about them, but which come from a sinful soul and demonstrate sin in all of its powers. We may become those who are very well versed and clever at using such barbed words. And you know what? You don't have to roam far and wide to experience it. Tragically, even you find it in the church. And it is most deplorable when we find it. And it's never to be excused. And I'm not excusing it this morning, of course not. But it's a most powerful demonstration that there is no one on earth who is righteous. And whatever else you call this, in some measure, it is speaking evil of others. That's exactly what it is. And the New Testament is absolutely clear that this should be far from us. Do not pay attention to every word people say, or you may hear your servant cursing you. For you know in your heart that many times you yourself have cursed others. Is there anyone here who'd be willing to throw stones at someone for the words that have been spoken against them? I doubt it. No one here would be able to claim innocence. It would be impossible. And such a spirit needs to be repented of, and it needs to be shunned. Because you know in your heart, as Koheleth says, you know in your heart, you know in your heart, you know in your heart, even as I speak, that you have done it many times. You know in your heart that you may have spoken evil of someone or slandered them in some way. You've spoken ill of them at some time. You know in your heart. And you know in your heart that you'll have done it about me. You know. That's why the title is Remember When You Cursed the Preacher. So Koheleth is saying, develop a thick skin. Ah yes, don't pay attention to every word people say, or you'll get bogged down and you'll judge them for what you even do yourself. Ah, but you might say this morning, this wouldn't be unusual. He, she's a Premier League exponent of this. And I'm just a small-time league player. Ah, yes, I've heard that kind of thing before. Oh no, there's no way out. No way out for any one of us. The fact is that neither of them does right. Whether you do it a little or whether you do it a lot. So I think that Koheleth's advice would be like this. Don't pay too much heed to the prattle about you and those who call you behind your back. Cut the ground from underneath them if you can pay little attention to the harm that they try to do to you. From their words. Do not pay attention to every word. Must be good advice. I heard a mother interviewed on the TV 2 weeks ago. She was telling the tragic story of her 14-year-old boy who could not stay off his mobile phone to check continuously the messages that were being sent by people at school who hated him. He could not let it go. It ate into him. He even got up in the middle of the night, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, just to check the things that were being written. And he looked at them. And then he took his own life. He committed suicide. That's not small. It's not insignificant, this. The Word of God has wisdom for us, if only we would listen to it. Parents, do your best, do everything you can to get something of this across. Do not pay attention to every word people say. If we start with God's wisdom and the fear of God and avoiding all extremes, what kind of path might we take in life? What kind of different path might we be taken on as we go through life? The gospel of Jesus Christ alone is wisdom. I commend it to you. We are all deficient of it, but we will find it if we go to him by faith, and we will be able to navigate our way through the incredible things which face us in the future. And whatever technology throws at us, or politics, or whatever it might be, we will be able to navigate our way safely through it. But without it, the extremes, I promise you, will overtake us. And we will be lost in a world of failure and loss. And we will be those who are astonished by the fact that people fall short of our standards, the very standards which we ourselves fall short of. the gospel of Jesus Christ beautifully answers these great questions. I commend the gospel to you. If the door is even slightly open this morning, go to it and push it wider open, and there is the kingdom of God waiting for anyone who would go through it. It might be you this morning. At least recall Koheleth's great teaching. Forget me and this place. Remember this. Wisdom makes one wise person more powerful than 10 rulers in a city. Indeed, there is no one on earth who is righteous, no one who does what is right and never sins. Do not pay attention to every word people say, or you may hear your servant cursing you. For you know in your heart that many times you yourself have cursed others. God, give us that wisdom which is real power in our lives. God, help us through the word of God as it has been preached to us this morning, and God bless it to us. I pray that he does so.